Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. We'll be here with a new episode for you right after this quick note.
Bet Online is your number one source for all of your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wager, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. My name is James Williams, a reporter and editor for the Orange County Register and the Southern California News Group. And as always, I'm joined here by my co-host, former UCLA linebacker, Josh Woods. Josh, what's going on, man?
You know, I love when we have guests on, but like this guy, I would say one of the most underrated athletes UCLA football has ever had. And my first roommate at UCLA, my boy Nate Meadows.
I did not know that. I did not know that.
Yes, you know, sir.
I was thinking about that when I was coming out here. Like, damn, Josh was really my first roommate, man, coming to college.
But thank you for the honor. Which makes sense because I was excited to have Nate on. And for me, this is a treat because some of the earliest guys, like high school guys I covered in the inland area, were Nate Meadows and Josh Woods. And I'm like, what year were they? Were they the same year? I couldn't remember. So I looked it up. And Josh, did you know that Nate is actually, despite the fact we've had several other UCLA guys on here, he's the first guy from your class 2015 that we've had on here? I didn't know that. I really didn't know you guys were in the same class.
It's a great way to start it.
But
I like it.
But that's today's fun fact.
I was like, we've had, I feel like every guy we had has usually been.
Josh's always been the old dog, yeah.
Yeah, I've been the older guy. And then I missed Josh Kelly, who kind of was our class, but didn't come in with us.
That's true.
It didn't really count. And then, everybody else has been, after us.
It's pretty weird.
Goes by fast, doesn't it?
Time flew.
Oh, my goodness, bro. It's been, five years since?
Yeah, and I gauge when we first stepped on by how old my little sister is because she was born before me and Nate enrolled in the spring.
Oh wow!
So it's been eight years since me and Nate Meadows first stepped on campus, which is it's crazy to think. Like we coming up on a decade.
It's mind blowing. I don't like to talk about it, bro. It's kind of creepy, man.
Hey, I just had my 10 years since I graduated high school. I think maybe I'm on like year 11 now, and that's crazy. So y'all probably aren't that far behind. So again, as I was kind of looking up some stuff on Nate, and I was kind of going back in the time capsule a little bit because I was looking up old articles from the San Bernardino Sun and all this other good stuff. And we'll start with Nate. Nate, I'm curious to know about your decision to go to UCLA. I believe your two finalists, based on what I read, was Notre Dame and UCLA. I remember Boise State was in the mix for a little bit. I think you had Cal in the mix. Why was UCLA the place for you?
Man, the funny thing is, man, I was really Notre Dame, all the way up until the morning of, actually.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I was because the recruiter there, rest in peace, I can't remember his name right now, but he passed away. He was an older guy, DB coach at Notre Dame. He was a really cool dude, man, and my visit was cool. I just didn't like the weather, man. It was terrible. And then Coach Meade, you know, the recruiting guys, they came and got me, man. They were awesome, bro. I loved UCLA. It was just a matter of, did I want to stay close to home? And, you know, I woke up that morning, the day I announced where I was going, I just felt UCLA going through me that morning, man. Because wow. My parents thought I was going Notre Dame too. And then I got up there, it was like, yeah, I'm going to UCLA. It was like the best decision ever.
Okay, so which is kind of funny because, and not that my opinion or prediction mattered then or now, but I could have sworn the whole time you were going to UCLA. Because I remember, I don't know who you got done playing, but you wiped somebody off the field. And I remember talking to you after, and I was like, what offers you have? Or I said something like that. And you're like, I'm going, like, I just got offered to UCLA, but I haven't told anybody yet. I wouldn't say I was the first person you told, but like, I remember you saying like, I haven't told anybody yet. So pretty much like, don't tweet it yet. So I was like, all right. And I was like, and I think, I don't know if that was like your first big offer, like outside of Boise State at the time, but it was kind of then I was like, all right. Mm-hmm. I was like, I think UCLA is going to be it. So I don't know. I had UCLA in the back of my mind for you the whole time, but yeah. I was kind of surprised to hear. What is the trip to Notre Dame like outside of the weather? What kind of popular venues or places are they trying to show you out there compared to what Westwood is for UCLA?
I mean, there's no comparison. But, I mean, first when you land in Chicago, you have to drive out there to South Bend, which sucked. You're just looking at it like it was during the winter. Like, you're just looking at a bunch of, like, dead trees going through.
Sounds like Moreno Valley, actually.
So we just went out, man. We went to like a couple college parties. It was cool. Like the party scene wasn't really, you know, the reason why I wanted to go there. It was more so just like, you know, how well known they were for football and the, you know, the trajectory I felt like they were going. But it was a cool visit. I had a good time. It was just too cold, man. That was the thing that turned me off the most, to be honest.
And how influential at all was Josh during the process? Obviously, you guys were the same year. Did you guys know each other? Were you guys aware of each other? I mean, you guys are pretty close. You guys are in the IE. When is the first time you guys even met?
Probably officials.
Yeah.
I feel like our official weekend, it was a lot of like the guys that ended up were like, we're committed. And we're gonna sign. So like, but that was our officials were like our first time of like all of us being together at one time. Like I think it was like all, it was like majority all the defensive players in our class. So all the DBs, so it's Nate, Octo, Will Lockett, Deshaun Holliday, Colin Samuel, me, KLS, and then Roquan Smith.
Every time he says Roquan Smith, I like cringe a little bit because cringe, I know that was one of Josh's biggest failures there. But
no, that one was that.
But not
one
okay. It's not on you, but
that one was strictly the coaches. That had nothing to do. That was one of the guys I hosted. Because we were both on our unofficials
That's true.
But yeah, me and Nate's first time meeting, and then a few weeks, like what, probably like a few months later, we were roommates.
Yeah, roommates. That was the first time we met. But I knew about Josh just because, you know, he was one of those guys in the IE, man. You know, skin, running back, running around crazy. You know, I'm like, who is this guy, bro? That's my first impression, but. You know, he was a baller, man. So it was like
same thing with Nate. I was like people don't know. Like Nate was cold at quarterback. Like,
oh, man,
I feel like he almost like an IE legend in that sense. That you should never like, unless fans were looking that up, and even NFL fans like wouldn't know. But Nate was like a Lamar Jackson in high school type guy, where, you know, athlete making people miss, you know, all that.
To be honest, like, every time I think about Nate or I'm like looking at articles, none of it is ever about him playing defense. I don't remember him ever playing defense. I was surprised when he went to it was defense. Cause I'm like, no, he's a quarterback. Like, that's all I ever knew him as. So I was kind of surprised. Was there any talk at UCLA at all to play quarterback or to get involved on offense at all? Or,
you know, man, quarterback, it was unlikely, you know, the guy we had coming in our same class, man, we came in together, the chosen one.
Sure.
But honestly, like, Coach Meade told me, like, It's a possibility I could play offense, but he sees me playing, you know, corner, safety. Mm-hmm. Looking back, man, I honestly regret it, like, not trying to really play both sides because, like, wow. I mean, that was what I did, like, growing up, man. But it was, like, once I went to defense, it was just, like, okay, I'm in every play, you know. I'm getting to, you know, make plays all the time. It's a little different on the other side at the college level. But, yeah, man, I just that's one thing I wish I did more of was play a little more offense, man, coming into college.
But that was probably, honestly, yeah, it's the ahead, defensive Josh. Coaches that were the ones that were shutting it down, though.
Yeah, that's yeah. true. No, that's
because
true.
There's a lot You're of times right. Coach Foster would be saying like, mm-hmm. "Want yeah, like come get some carries, like come whatever." Mm-hmm. And Coach Scott White would like shut that down immediately. Like, nah, he's done with that. It's over with.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. We're,
it,
we're
you know what I'm saying because offense, you know, they like right. doing. You know, trickery and, you know, mm-hmm. using whatever we had times they had Ishmael Adams going to offense, you know, Miles Jack, of course, in situations like that. But mm-hmm. at a certain point, yeah, the defensive coaches were holding us back.
They were. No, they were. It's okay, though.
One thing I found impressive, too, looking up your kind of your UCLA career, Nate, was you played 4 straight years, no redshirt, mm-hmm. if I'm mistaken. Mm-hmm. How was that just kind of getting thrown? I mean, you're at San G, which, like, at least for me, my perception, that is not one of the bigger schools in the IE. And all mm-hmm. of a sudden, here you are, you're getting some reps on special teams. I think you had 2 starts that year mm-hmm. as a defensive back for UCLA as a true freshman, but you were out there from the jump. There's no getting to learn the playbook process for you. How was that like to just kind of jump right in?
Honestly, man, like I had a, like, coming in, I had a really good spring brawl, like, I thought I was for sure going to be playing, but mm-hmm. then I went into fall camp kind of like, you know, kind of was like, so I ended up, you know, not playing a good chunk of the season, but then towards okay. the end of the season, man, you know, injuries end up happening, staying ready. You know, I was working my way on special teams. And then I believe it was Marcus Rios that ended, you know, Fabian got hurt first. And then Marcus Rios got hurt versus Colorado. Then they threw me in there, end of the game, bro. I end up getting that game clinching pick, man, and then I was in there from there, bro. They just kept me rolling. So, yeah, man, yeah.
I mean, but that's a learning lesson for any football player, right? It's like make the most of your opportunities because it only takes one opportunity man. Like that to change your whole and just the way maybe they kind of perceive you or they. It's kind of that first introduction, like yeah, like I can get on the field, I can make plays, so.
Yeah, man. It was I'll always remember it, man, because like that week we talked about this certain route concept they ran. It was like it was spread, 2 would be on, 1 would be off, 2s would run a vertical, and then 1s would run a comeback. So I seen 1 was off. It was like I forget the down and distance, but it was like 3rd and 10. I'm like, oh, it's comeback. So I'm going back. I see it, I go, bro. It was, like, crazy, bro. I still, like, vividly remember that moment in my head. But, yeah, honestly, it's just you never know when your moment's going to come, man. So, stand ready. So, you ain't got to get ready.
I was like, I remember when – I think when you burned your shirt mm-hmm. on the punt. Oh, yeah, I was like, bro, you like, you sure you want to burn it right now? Like, once you win, you in.
Yeah, it's
and then coming
it's
back.
Current. Yeah, yeah.
That joint lit.
I mean, yeah, what, like, yeah. if he decides he doesn't want to, what do you go and you tell coach, like, you don't want to? Or it's like, kind of like you kind of go.
And that was when, as soon as you, like, one snap, your shirt was gone. Like, it's not like now where you can
play, like, three or four games. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's like, right. You could play the full game and be like, oh, now I'm redshirt. Like, no. It, back then, it was, so you stepped on that field, your shirt.
It's gone.
There was, like, if it would happen in the first – There was like one thing. It was like if it happened, I think if you got hurt and before a certain percentage of the season, mm-hmm. you could get your red shirt without it counting mm-hmm. as a medical. But that was like mm-hmm. the only thing. And Nate was out there more than that at a certain point. Like,
yeah, it was over.
Yeah. So, well,
I mean, it worked out for you. I think you had a decision where you probably could have come out early if you wanted to, right?
Oh, man. Yeah,
do you regret? Do you wish you did?
Honestly, I do regret, man, staying. Like, of course, getting my degree mm-hmm. was a big part of the reason why I wanted to stay. I mean, I'm not regretful of that, But I think in terms of my football career, like, I think the season I had my junior year, I think I would have had a better chance in the NFL after my junior year rather than after my senior year. Because, like, my senior year, man, was a rough year for me. It was a lot going on. The coaching changes, man. Like, everything is changing. You know, when coaches bring their guys in and you're an older guy, they want to bring their younger guys in, get them burned. It's like, man, why are we doing this when we're established here already and we have mm-hmm. people here that are, you know, ready to ball? But, you know, that's in terms of, you know, whatever happens with college football and switches and stuff. But yeah, man, it's something I regret, you know, in terms of on the football field. But I think, you know, of course, getting your degree is the main reason why, you know, we wanted to go to UCLA in the first place. So, but yeah, man, definitely some regret in my heart after that junior year not leaving.
And where, just for the people listening, where are you playing now? Because I know you've been to several NFL teams. The mm-hmm. last I saw, you were with an XFL team. Mm-hmm. Just catch us up. Where are you at now?
Yeah, man. So technically, I'm still with the Battlehawks, XFL. Mm-hmm. The second to last game of the season, I had a high ankle sprain. That was my first time actually ever getting a high ankle sprain, and it's no joke to deal with.
Terrible.
Bro, I didn't realize how bad it was until I actually got this injury, and it's something that's, like, ridiculous, man. It lingers, you know, mm-hmm. and I got – actually, after the season, I got invited to Buffalo Bills camp, man.
I think I saw that. Man.
Wasn't healthy, bro. I just tried to go out there, you know, take advantage of the op. I wasn't healthy, man, to get out there. But, you know, I've been rehabbing for the last month, about 6 weeks now, man. So I feel good, ready to go. Now it's just a matter of, you know, another opportunity coming. You know, training camp is coming around for the NFL. So, that's what I'm waiting on, to get another opportunity in the NFL. But if I don't, I'll be doing another year of the XFL. So,
okay, for sure. And how different are some of those rules? Because I know, like, I think the kickoff is kind of crazy. Is there, like, some sort of adjustment that you have to make, or is it still just kind of ball at the end of the day?
Nah, man, it's just ball. It's just, you know, it's some rules are a little different. Like, I actually liked how the kickoff and the kickoff return.
I like the kickoff rule,
bro, because, like, when you're a tackle or a guard on KOR, bro, and, like, you're running back and then you turn around and you have to block, like, a 6'3", 240, like, four, like, that's not for me, you know? Like, that's not, I'll do my job, but, like, that's not for me, bro. So, you know, being able to set up 5 yards and they're right there, like, that eliminated a lot of stress. So, really not too much different, but I did like the overtime rules and, like, the, you know, the end of the game, how we actually won a game was, we were down, our first game, San Antonio, we were down by a lot. We came back into the game. Like, we score, and then instead of, like, kicking the onside, you can go for a 4th and 15. So instead of kicking the onside, we go for the 4th and 15. We get it. We go down, score, win the game. It was like,
I think I remember hearing about it.
I watched that one. And like, the extra, you guys, extra point, you can get up to what, 3?
The extra point? Yeah, you get up to 3. You get, I think mm-hmm. 1 is from, like, the normal, like, 2-yard line, 2.5-yard line. Mm-hmm. 2 is, the 5, and then 3 points is from the 10-yard line. Yeah. It's cool stuff, man. It's actually fun. I had a great time out there.
Speaking of differences, something that I've asked Josh and probably some of the other guys we've had on the team is, what is the difference between Mora and Chip Kelly? What are some of the differences, and maybe in what way, or how are they alike?
Like, in all honesty, I would say that Coach Mora is more of a player friendly, like, check in on you, how are you doing, like, know your family, know you, you know, definitely more of a hard disciplined guy. And Chip is, I wouldn't say he's not a really player coach, but he's, like, fundamental, and he's just a great coach overall, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of execution and knowing how to take care of players and knowing how to win, obviously, with his, you know, with all of his accomplishments. So I just think the biggest thing for me was just, you know, going from a coach like Coach Mora, who's all for his players and all about his players, to a coach that, you know, even though I was an older guy, I just felt like I wasn't I wasn't a part of the plan, you know? So it kind of, you know, had an effect. I feel like it had an effect on how my senior year went. But, you know, I love both coaches. I had a great time with both coaches. Nothing wrong with either or. It was just for me having a better relationship with Coach Moore rather than Coach Kelly.
And you definitely don't have a transfer portal option the way these guys do now, right?
No, man, they're in and out everywhere, bro, nowadays. It's crazy.
Trust me, I gotta keep track of it.
It just got better.
It's crazy.
It just everything got better once we
the NIL.
And then I was about to, oh my, if we had, I'm wondering what my NIL would have been back then, boy.
Ooh, boy, we was struggling in that dorm, I tell you.
Yeah, in the dorm, but you don't play like y'all weren't eating good.
No. I mean, like, at first.
But when you're on your own, like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, me and Nate's first, like, quarter, though, we really understood, like, damn, like, we really don't. We're not getting money like that. Because that was before you even got paid to be in the dorm. So, like, our only money, if you got FAFSA. If you didn't get FAFSA, you didn't get anything.
You didn't get jacked. But luckily, I was getting FAFSA. So that
I was getting FAFSA, too.
You know, once that came
I was in, on FAFSA, too. That FAFSA money.
You know?
that was a good day when it hit.
Once that came man, in, though. We were good, man. But everything else, yeah, it was tough out there.
Okay, well then, so how are you guys as roommates? Who was the one, maybe, like, who was doing the cooking? Who was cleaning? Like, what was the dynamic? Was it just you two or as the roommates, or were there other people? Because now I think they're, like, a couple teammates deep in some of these dorms.
But because now they stay in off-campus housing apartments, so that situation is different. Because I think it's, like, each apartment is, like, two bedrooms, two beds in each room. They have a kitchen, a living room, all that. When me and Nate went in, like, almost everybody, because you weren't getting money our first quarter, you didn't get money for where you live unless you lived off. And if you lived off, it wasn't enough to really live. So almost everybody lived in the dorms. Like, like, older guys were still in the dorms because it didn't make sense to live off whatever. But me and Nate were in a one room, one bathroom, like, two bed situation. Like a typical, like, what you would typical think a TV dorm, right? Like, that was
my
bed along this wall, Nate's bed along that wall. Like, we both have desk, closet, bathroom. That's it.
Yeah. Wake up, look over, Josh right there. Like, yeah, man. Like,
it's dark. No, like, oh, we gotta go straight to practice. And it's like when me and Nate came in too, like, coming in spring quarter, it was really just me and Nate. Like, we had all the same classes, like, our same schedule, same lift. So, like, we had each other, like, but that's all we had. I remember at one point, like, I didn't understand the dining hall situation. And, like, at first, I don't think Nate did either, because we were only eating at late night. Like, we would eat in the student union for, like, lunch or whatever. And then we would eat, we'd only eat at late night, which only didn't open till, like, what, nine?
Nine. Mm-hmm.
Something like that. And then I remember one day, Nate was like, oh, I went during the day. And like
swipe that Bruin card.
He said, I swiped, I got to eat whatever. Like,
he got put on to the daytime.
Yeah.
I'm like, how you do that? Because they didn't tell, like, we didn't get, like, no intros, nothing.
They don't run that by y'all.
It wasn't
they walked
like
us to our first class. That was it.
It wasn't like the normal, because we were early, man. We graduated early, so we're coming in early. You know, Josh Rosen came in early too in the spring. So it was like, it wasn't a big, like, oh, these are, like, our new freshmen coming in. Let's, like, it's like, you guys are here early. We got other things we're doing. Like, we're going to show you this and then just fall in line. Like, I'll never forget, bro, like, that first workout early. We woke up early, bro. Like, it was still dark. We out on the turf. Coach Alosi out there. I'm like, oh, my goodness. What did I get myself into out here?
I'm just like, What is Miles Jack doing? Okay, I'm following him. I'm behind him. And whatever line he going, I'm doing that. And then, like, of course, since me and Nate were new, we had, like, to do certain lifts. Or, like, you know, we were together to do, like, an early car type situation. But, I think we moved in on a Sunday, worked out Monday classes. Mm-hmm. And then Tuesday was the first spring ball practice. Mm-hmm. And, like Nate said, like, we hit the ground running. There was no, like, you know, because usually you have a whole freshman class, you get fresh introduction, and they, you know, They really get, like, for the first week, the freshmen usually get, like, walked through, like, everything. So, mm-hmm. yeah. I remember there's a picture, I think it was at the first practice, it was, like, me, Nate, Josh Rosen, and Coach Mora, mm-hmm. like, talking. Yeah. And he's making sure, we're, like, we were doing okay. And we just, like, you could tell, like, we are just, like, everything is happening so fast. Like, man. Trying to learn this playbook that everybody already knows. I'm trying to mm-hmm. figure out where my classes are, trying to, and like I said, me and Nate weren't eating.
Malnourished.
Malnourished. Yeah. Man.
So you guys are there early. So this is like you guys are just going through the motions on campus before the San Bernardino stuff starts, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is at UCLA.
Yeah. So what was spring quarter? And then that's what we felt when the other freshmen came in. We felt cool. Yeah. We felt like we had been there, like we were some vets because we mm-hmm. knew everything. So they asking me and Nate mm-hmm. all the questions. Mm-hmm. And me and Nate know how everything goes.
Yeah. And that was before the turf actually got out there too. That was when the grass was out there.
Yeah, when it was half turf, half grass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For the practice fields or in San Bernardino?
No. UCLA. This is before Wasserman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Wasserman.
I wasn't there for all that, so I don't know.
it was literally sheds, like along. Yeah. So where Wasserman is, there was some sheds, mm-hmm. equipment sheds. There was sheds still where there are sheds at now. Mm-hmm. And then was that field closest to Poly was turf, and then mm-hmm. the field closer to the parking lot was grass.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Why do they do that?
Well, one of the things that's pretty smart is like if you're going to play in a grass field, you practice over there. If you're playing on turf, you can practice on the turf. So you kind of get a sense of both surfaces. And like it was nice. It was nice to have grass for certain things. Like we used to do some recovery runs. You could run like barefoot on the grass. Barefoot. Like certain things you could do on grass that you can't do on turf.
Wait, isn't the Rose Bowl grass?
Yes, sir.
I just realized. Mm-hmm.
So you think about they're practicing on turf, and then you go to grass, and the Rose Bowl grass is very different than that turf at Wasserman now.
I don't know why I just barely realized that. How is it different? Like in what ways? Because it kind of throws you out. Like I mean, that should be you guys would think you would do grass to give yourself like some sort of home field advantage, field or whatever, just so you get familiar with it. But
I don't, and like that Rose Bowl grass is different than like any other grass that I've ever played on, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't it, they that Rose Bowl grass hit a little different though. Like
yeah, it does
in a good way or a bad way.
In a good way.
In a good way.
Yeah, they take care of it. And I feel like we fly around. Of course, that turf at Wasserman is not forgiving. You know,
no, sir. Tough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, Nate. Another thing I saw was that Deion Sanders was your favorite athlete. That was listed on your UCLA bio. If mm-hmm. Deion Sanders was coaching in the Pac-12 and you had an offer from Colorado, would that get you to Colorado over UCLA?
Back then, yeah. Man, looking back, I might have. But honestly, like, Coach Meat was, like, an awesome dude, like, looking mm-hmm. back. He was an awesome dude, awesome recruiter. Like, I felt so comfortable. My family felt so comfortable with me going there, like – and I knew he was going to coach me up, man. He's honestly one of my favorite coaches I've ever had because, I mean, like, I wouldn't be where I am today without him, you know, in terms of instilling me with all the, he would call it FBI and just, you know, everything coming to UCLA. But looking back, that's a tough one, bro. I probably would have went to Colorado. Yeah. Would have been a buff.
I saw that in the bio and I was like, I got to ask him about that. Cause I'm like, if Deion Sanders, I remember this the photo of Jim Mora coming to your house and you're sitting on the couch with Jim Mora.
Yeah,
I think again, another moment where I'm like, yeah, he's going to UCLA. But imagine if Deion Sanders is sitting on the couch with you in your house.
Oh, like... boy. Oh, boy. We would have lost it. We would have probably committed that day.
I'm just trying to think like what he would tell you guys. Like, I don't know. But then again, as a DB, I mean, it probably doesn't get any better than that.
In fact. Oh,
exactly. That's like dream come true.
Yeah.
That's a dream come true. Learning from one of the best to ever do it. I mean, can't go wrong there, can you?
But people forget the hype of when me and Nate were going to UCLA. Like, think about it. UCLA finished, what, top 10, but maybe even higher.
For recruiting class?
No. Like, they're coming off the Alamo. Yeah. Like, they're finishing mm-hmm. I want to say not fourth. They were high, though. Like, they were high. Like, yeah. Coach Moore had the hype. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm it saying, was. Like, everything, the trajectory of UCLA, like, at that time, Room Revolution, like, we were on that wave.
Yeah.
It was Lokenium's yeah. class that ruined it because we were tough. Still good.
That's
and
tough.
Then the next year is when we had the tough year. That was when Lokenium and Chris Barnes and them came. So we're going to blame them on that.
That's tough.
We were still rolling with my class. And then.
Man, that's hilarious, bro. Honestly, bro, I'm so mad. Like, I still think about it. Like, we should have been so much better than we were, bro.
So
like,
much talent.
So much talent, bro, that was there. Like, it was like, how are we not better? How are we not winning more games?
What do you
like,
think
every
went
year
wrong?
Though?
Injuries. What do you think went wrong? Yeah,
injuries.
We've talked
injuries
about before, yeah.
For sure.
Injuries for sure, 100%. And I think just some games, like offense would be on, and then some games defense would be on, offense would be on. Like, we just would never like both be on one page. But when we was on one page, that's when we looked the part, and that's when we was rolling through people. But like,
mm-hmm.
it was just some inconsistency and injuries, bro. I think was just the knocker on us. I don't know, man. Should've
every year.
Every year
it was some starters on either side of the ball that were out. So
mm-hmm. every
it's
year,
tough to
man.
It's tough to win in college when you have injuries to your best players.
Best players.
But talking about best players, Nate, mm-hmm. who was I asked two questions to everybody that comes on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Who was the toughest matchup you had, like who you had to go against, and then who was the best athlete you've ever been on the field, like either with or against? So like mine, I always say Christian McCaffrey was the toughest matchup or like player I had played against. And then I say Miles Jack was like the best athlete I ever like was on the same field with.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Like all my career, college,
UCLA, or UCLA.
UCLA.
Not,
you
yeah,
can
not
do UCLA,
coach.
But okay. If there's one that comes UCLA. To mind for your entire career, you can feel free to say that
okay.
too.
Okay. I would say the most freakiest, like the best athlete, I would say is Miles Jack. I mean, the guy was a freak, man. Like going offense, defense, dominating both sides, bro. This I don't know, Josh probably said it. This, he used to guard Monsi Johnson every practice, one on ones.
He never did one on ones with us.
never did one on ones with the Backers. He'd go out there and guard one of our best wide receivers, man, and clamp him. You know, they would go at it all the time. It was like, what is this dude doing, bro? Like, this is freakish. Like, like he's kick step, clamp, like catching the ball, one hand picks. Like, this is freakish, bro. Like, yeah, he's Miles Jack for sure. But I think the best player I ever played against or lined up against, who gave me some work, man. I think the best receiver I might have went against was, I would say best player, I like the Christian McCaffrey overall. He was toting the rock crazy.
Right. Was that Heisman year?
Crazy work.
Or no, he didn't win the Heisman, but he should have won the Heisman. A lot of people were saying. Yeah.
Crazy work, though.
Crazy work. Go ahead.
Did you have another answer to that? Or?
Yeah. I was going to say the best receiver I played against.
Josh, do you know who he should say? It sounds like you know who he probably.
SC has some boys.
It could be quarterback too. Like anybody, just anybody.
Oh, anybody.
Like a tight end, whoever you had to put hands on or whatever, cover or anything like that.
I think his name. He played for Memphis.
Oh, Andre Miller.
Or Anthony Miller.
Anthony Miller
sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Anthony Miller during that time frame, he went berserk against us.
Yeah, he went berserk. Crazy.
So off the top, I think that, but I have to really sit back and like think about it.
Because it could even be a teammate. Because I know some people that were saying Kyle Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Kyle Phillips.
Did you ever go against Kyle Phillips? I guess you guys probably crossed
the first practice
a little bit.
We seen. I didn't have to go against him yet, but he took somebody crate. I was like,
just from the jump. Dude? Kyle Phillips was always a dog then, huh?
Fast.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy change of direction. Like there was like it was no telling what he was gonna do. Oh my goodness, that boy has some sauce on him. I was like, who is this? I like him. So I like that.
I think I remember Josh saying that didn't you say Kyle Phillips is like the biggest trash talker?
He's one of people don't know that. Mm-hmm. Kyle go talk.
Silent. Silent assassin.
Hey everybody, just wanted to take a quick break to remind you guys that the football season is right around the corner, and when you're headed out to the Rose Bowl, what better shirt to wear than a Believe in UCLA football podcast shirt? By doing that, you're going out, you're going to the game, you're supporting your team, and you're supporting your favorite podcast at the same time. Some of the proceeds go back to the podcast and help support the content and the different things that we have planned going forward. So what better way to, again, support your team and your favorite podcast than by picking up the shirts. Now, where can you find these shirts? They're available at the Believe Network store, and we made it very easy for you. Scroll down on this podcast, check out the description. I got two links there for you for two different shirts. Make sure you check them out, find the one that's right for you, and hopefully I see you wearing them out at the game. I'd love to see you wear them.
I had to go back in my film, my Rolodex. Yeah. Man. Well, the best player I played against in college was probably CeeDee Lamb.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
2018,
he was like that.
I think he had like almost 150 on us, I think, in 2018 at Oklahoma. Yeah.
That was like coming out game.
Oh, my goodness. He caught a ball that was – do you remember that? I don't know if you remember that.
It didn't even count, but it was just like –
I didn't even count, damn.
Whoa.
Oh, my gosh. That's tough. Yeah. Yeah, I would say that was damn near his breakout game because he went, oh, my goodness, berserk on us.
Him and Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray. Right. Oh, my gosh. Kyler, I forgot. Yeah. Kyler Murray, too. Oh, man, yeah. I would say three. Didn't they have
they had like
Brown
another
–
Yeah, Hollywood.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
Hollywood
Brown. Yeah, I'm assuming. Yeah, it would have been the same year.
Yeah, I would say that trio right there. That trio.
I'll do it.
Trio. Mm-hmm.
There's no. No, you're good. There's no real breaks with that. If you like, you have one of those two guys every play.
Mm-hmm. That's tough. There's no break. No.
That's tough.
And the other question that we always ask: who are the top five funniest guys in the locker room when you're at UCLA?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is easy.
Okay.
It's easy.
Jaleel Wadud.
Okay.
Yep.
Funny. Denzel Fisher.
Okay.
Yep.
Octavia Spencer.
Okay.
For sure.
Kenny Lacy.
Ooh,
that's
Kenny
a new
Lace.
Name.
Sleeper.
I like Kenny.
Jokes.
Sleeper.
Jokes.
Yeah, jokes. That's four. Now that fifth one.
There's a few.
I'm trying to think.
There's a name that everybody always says. I'm assuming. Yeah, there's some crossover. I'd imagine. So you probably know who it is.
Yeah, at least 2 years.
Okay. Yeah.
L.A. High.
Is that where he went?
Yeah.
Who are you talking about?
Martin
Andrews.
Big Martin.
Yeah.
Big Money. Big Head. Fat Belly. yeah, Martin's hilarious. Talk about Martin. No, Martin is hilarious too. That's true. I did get 2 years. Yeah,
that's why. Nate, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. Was I there, Josh? Was I there when Nate was there?
No,
or did I miss Nate?
Because you came. You came my,
for your last
my,
year.
My fifth year. Yeah, okay. When I was playing.
Because
Nate's fourth year. That's when I was hurt. So I
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. Because I was like, why isn't it? I don't ever remember Nate being there. Okay. That
2019, makes sense. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 2019 was my first year covering. Going all the way back to Sanjee real quick, your former head coach or your high school head coach, Ron Geringer, is a former UCLA guy himself. Did he, again, this is another reason why you probably thought you were going to UCLA? Did he have any influence or impact, or was he kind of like filling you in on any tradition or anything for UCLA in your decision?
Nah, he was never like, he was always down for whatever I wanted to do. You know, he never like was like, oh, like you should go to UCLA. Of course, like staying home and staying close to home. So, you know, he could come up there, watch me play, that kind of stuff. But, I mean, he always talked about how he went to UCLA and stuff like that, you know, as an alum. But, nah, he wasn't too much of a, you know, in the decision-making for me. Nah, for going UCLA, nah. But it was a connection, though. It was a good connection.
Because I've always wanted to ask him, and I think I've talked to him a few times, and I think I always make sure to mention you for sure. Because every time I see him, like, I connect to both of you guys, like just hand in hand.
Yeah, no, he's awesome, man. One of my favorite, probably top two. Him and Coach Me, probably my favorite coaches I've ever had.
Tell me about the San Bernardino days, because I'm like
him.
Did it benefit you being a San Bernardino guy? Are the folks bringing you some food? Like, what is the situation? What kind of, there had to have been some advantage, at least for you going to San Bernardino, because it did not sound like a great time for a lot of people when it came to San Bernardino.
Man, honestly, like, I mean, even though I grew up there, like, hot is hot, man. Like,
you didn't want to be out there either.
Hot is hot, bro. But of course, I think the biggest advantage was just people was able to come to my practice. You know, people was bringing me food. Yeah, people was bringing me food. You know, hometown people was bringing me food. Like, so I actually enjoy coming back to San Bernardino just for those two reasons. You know, my family and then people pulling up on me and stuff like that. So it was great for me. I know everybody hated it, you know what I'm saying? But it was like, we just got to get out there and get it done.
Yeah.
Like, there's a few perks for the IU guys. Like,
we're used
to the weather, and our family can come to every practice if they want to. Like,
exactly.
I could imagine, like, if you're from out of state or you just only from LA, like, how much that must suck. And don't get me wrong, the schedule might be what makes it suck the most, anyways.
Oh my goodness!
Like, all the 2 days, all the meetings, like, you just tired, and it's like ongoing, like, always something. But, like, just being in the IE, like, we're so used to it where it was, like, the IE guys, like, we felt like we were at home.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. Yeah, it was, like, it wasn't, like you said, it was just the schedule was from dawn to dusk. Like, not even dusk, man, past dusk. 9 o'clock. You like, man, I got to be up tomorrow at 5 o'clock and do the same thing over again. It just flies, you know, time just flies by during camp, bro. It's like you're just doing the same thing every day.
One thing I was curious about and would love to kind of learn more about is it seems like you've been on the practice squad for a few teams and you had a journey in the NFL. You've probably, correct me if I'm wrong, been through every situation there has been, being released, you know, signing like midway during the season. Tell me about what the NFL process was for you and what you've kind of learned along the way.
Man, bro, I've just been on so many teams and like,
I lost track after the Vikings. I was like, they sign on the Vikings anymore? I was like, what?
It's really like, honestly, my opinion on it, like reaching it and being there was awesome. Like, it's the best thing, you know, growing up, that's what you wanted to do. You wanted to make it to the NFL and, you know, I was able to do that. But honestly, I still feel like I didn't reach my full potential in the league, you know, and that's, you know, sometimes it may have been on me, but a lot of the times it's on things outside of my control. Like, I've realized you have to have a lot of favor and a lot of people on your side when you're in these buildings. Cause even if you are, you may be better. You may be better. You may not be, you may be on your P's and Q's. You may be smarter, but at the end of the day, like the guys in the front office, they're going to keep the guys they want to keep regardless of what's going on. Right. So, and I think everywhere I've been, like, whether I was on P squad, like I would be making plays, doing this, doing that. And like people in the room where people would like, you know, they respect it, you know what I'm saying? But they just, I don't think they would understand just being in a position where like you're doing what you need to do and you're not getting the fruits off of that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's very stressful, man. But honestly, it's like, you got to be grateful for even being in the building at the same time. But I still feel like, you know, I haven't hit the ceiling on that, man. So I'm hoping, you know, I get another opportunity because I still feel like, man, I don't feel like there's however many DBs that's in the league, right? I don't feel like everybody is better than me. You know what I'm saying? Like Josh, I'm sure he feels the same way. So, I mean, there's been plenty of people, man, but who would say this, but then there are some people who are actually like, you know, like guys that do stuff, make plays, smart, you know, physical, and that just, it just doesn't go through for them, man. So it's definitely been an interesting process. Like, it's been, man, highs, lows, depressed, happy. Like, it's crazy, bro, because it's like just continuous. It's like a, I don't know what to call it, bro. It's a business, bro.
It's not, like, it's not the game you grew up playing. It's a business at that point.
Like, when people,
the NFL is not the best. It's not, I feel like not all the best players are in the NFL. Like,
no.
Things, a lot of things are, like Nate's saying, is like the politics and the
politics.
A lot of other things factor in. So when people, when fans that don't understand why, you know, guys aren't, why they're not in the NFL or why they're not playing anymore at all, like, a lot of the time it's not talent. There's a lot of guys not playing anymore that I know that are some of the, like, some of the best athletes are better than people that are playing, but it's just a lot of the other things that, you know, factor in. And Nate, that was one of the things I want to ask you, like, how have you been able to stay solid mentally? Because I mean, me being up here, like, I see it and I understand this, the business of it, you know, and like seeing it was messed up last, like, we kind of had like a mini bye week, just the way our games were set up. We played on a Thursday and then now we play on this Monday coming up. And like, we had a few days off, dude's in there working out. Midway through his workout, gets called by the coach, like, are you in the building? Like, yeah, I'm working out.
That's tough.
Like, oh, we have to let you go because we're bringing in another American running back.
An American, damn, that's crazy.
So
that's,
yeah, we have to, with the ratio, that's what I'm saying, we have to do with up here, we have to do with ratio and things like that. And the dude was already here, so they already knew that the other guy was, like, it wasn't like, you know what I'm saying? So like, business is just like, that's just how business is. So like, how have you stayed mentally solid? Like, whenever I've, like, we've chopped it up and talked, you know, through your journey, like from UCLA and during UCLA to now, like, you've always been such a chill, calm, cool, and collected guy. And it's like, how are you able to stay in that mind state?
Man, bro, I'm not going to lie. Like, it's probably been one of the toughest things I've dealt with, you know, going up and down. But I think just, you know, me being the way I am, and like you said, just being kind of just super just, like, chill, bro. It's just, I think that's helped me a lot, because it's like, at the end of the day, like, you're here, you know, when I was on Peace Squad, it's like, you're here, you're making some money. Yeah, it's good. You're doing, you know, you're being able to take care of your family and stuff like that. But at the same time, I'm going in there every week. Like, I got to go into this press box, or I got to be on the sideline and watch somebody I know I'm better than. And who I know hasn't prepared as much as me. Like, I have to go out there and watch him do what I want to do. Like, it's like, it's the biggest, like, mind just, I don't want to say the bad word, but it's like, it's just, so I would say, bro, like, there's been times where, like, I was down, bro, like, especially after getting cut, like, a lot of times it's like, bro, like, I've been doing what I'm supposed to do. What did I do wrong? They tell you, like, oh, man, you know, we're just, it's just numbers or blah, blah, blah. We got to make moves here. Like, I don't want to hear that, bro. Like, I think the biggest change for me was when I went to New York Giants, bro. Coach Wink, the DC there, the realest coach I've seen in person in the league by far, right? Because he wouldn't sugarcoat anything, right? Like, during training camp, after like a couple of days of practices, he would bring the defense in, write everybody's number on the board, and he would go through everybody like, okay, this is what you're doing. He's playing better than you. So we're like, damn, you need to step your game up. Like man. Serious, bro, like to your face, like what you need to do to get better. I'm like, damn, I've never seen this. And this was last summer. I'm like, wow, I've never seen a coach like in your face in front of everybody. Like, he's playing better than you. You need to pick it up. Like, you know, a lot of that happens upstairs where it's like with people who you probably will never see. But I think it's just, yeah, bro, to get back to the point, it's tough, bro. It really is, especially when you're a bottom of the roster guy, bro. It's definitely mentally taxing. So I think that's why, you know, playing in the XFL this year, bro, was like honestly the best thing that ever happened to me. Like, finding that passion and love and actually preparing every week to play. Like, it was like, I haven't felt like that, bro, since I was at UCLA, to be honest. Like, getting ready to play every week. Like, I loved it. Like, I plan on going back, bro, because, like, it's just the opportunity to play and actually just, you know, I'm 26, bro. Like, it's not like I'm old, but it's like, you know, the time is like,
Window.
We only get one body, one window opportunity to do what we love. And it's like, why do we love this game so much? And like, why do we put ourselves through this and keep chasing this? Cause it's like, you do see guys like chase it till they really can't no more. Guys is, you know, early to mid 30s. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dang, like, when are they gonna? But it's like, we love this game too much. Like, it's such a, you know, big part of our lives. It's like,
yeah, it's crazy, bro. Like, I think the dynamic with people is like, yeah, you want to play football, but you need to do something else. Like, it's hard to do that, especially when you're in like, I'm just thinking back to when we were in school, bro, like, everybody planned on going to the league, right? It's like, this is what I want to do. I have a passion for this. Like, this is what I want to do. It's hard to be like, okay, I have a passion for this, but I also want to do this at the same time, especially when you're like one of those players that are actually, you know, playing on the field every day, and you can see it every week stacking, like, okay, I'm getting there. It's like, it's hard to tell, even though this is of course preference, you know, to have passions outside of football, but it's hard to tell people like, oh, you need to have a passion for something else too. Like, like, man, we've been doing this all our life. Like, this is what we love to do. Like,
And like, what people don't understand is the demand put on, like, when you're actually playing, like, when you are a guy that is relied upon by not only the team, but like the coaches and like just the extra stuff. I always talk about it, like, once you get to a certain point, the demand that is on you, like, you can't have an off day. You have to be a leader all the time. You have media obligations. Like, I tell you, James, like, there's situations where it's like, man, like, bro, I've had this long day. I had to do extra meetings. I had to, you know, teach a young guy this, that. I had to be on the field early. And now I only have a short window of time before I have, you know, I have to eat, do all these things in class. But it's like, oh, Josh, you got media right now. You know what I'm saying? Or like having these late afternoon meetings and things like that. This is like, all that stuff adds up to where, like, even if you wanted to pursue other things, like, you can't. Like, it's not like when you are one of the guys playing, like, the demand on you, it's not like when you are one of the, say you're a young walk-on, or even like the older walk-ons, that where they know that the coach won't care if they have to miss meetings because they have an internship or an interview, or they're going to a job fair, like all these other things where it's like, we didn't, like, I only had the opportunity kind of to do things I was interested in because of my injury, because I had to have that fifth year. So then I had like this, you know, I didn't have class and I had this extra time, and I, you know, discovered I wanted to, like, I liked film and, you know, movie and TV show producing and these things. But like, if I never got hurt, I would have never had the opportunity to even think or dive into that. And everything else was built to go to the NFL. Like, that's just the time. Like, you don't have time to do these other things. So like, people can't, it's hard when people try to tell you, like, you need to pursue, or you need to have a backup plan. And it's like, I don't have time for a plan, because plan A is all I have time for. Like,
right.
Yeah.
That's all you're pouring into is plan A. You don't, there is no plan B for most people.
And a lot of it is like, there's no time for a plan B. Like, the demand on us is too high, where we don't have time to internship. We don't have time to be doing all these events that guys that are on the team, but you could tell their priority is not football, or tell, like, they're not a leader or a starter, or, you know, like all these things where coaches are expecting you to show up for all these extra events or do all these extra things, and you know to be at a workout and be 100% rather than, you know, be a guy on the side that's kind of tired. It's like, we're expected to talk and be vocal versus then we just can't get through the workout and be a guy on the side, you know? So it's like,
exactly,
everything is forced to be in that. And like, that's, I mean, it's what we love, and it's like what we're doing now and still pushing towards that. So I guess it worked out for us in that, in those regards. But for some guys, it didn't work out, or it doesn't work out, and yeah, now they're falling back on nothing because
it's a hard transition.
Yeah,
it really is, man.
That's the thing I was going to ask you, Nate. What do you have when you're done and you know how that you've been through the journey, you're still going through it, but when it's time to turn your focus elsewhere, or maybe you're already in the process of it, but do you have what's next for you kind of figured out, or do you know kind of what's next for you when you decide to hang them up?
Yeah, man, I think like ultimately, I think coaching, you know, is something I want to get into. I think I've always had a passion for it, man. And I'm very like, I love film. I love knowing what everybody is doing. It makes the game so much easier. So I feel like it's something that can easily translate to me being a coach. But yeah, man, it's like, I think coaching ultimately, but like right now, you know, I'm doing the events with the organization I'm a part of. I'm doing like my personal training stuff right now, getting my, NASM, my NASM, whatever you call it. So like there's a couple things, a couple avenues I want to get into, man. But like right now, I think it's a weird place for me right now, because it's like right now, like I'm like waiting for the opportunity still for the league. But at the same time, it's like I still have to do things to take care of my obligations in terms of like bills or, you know, normal life stuff. So, yeah, man, I think like especially now, man, like the last year or so, I've definitely have done a lot in terms of like really sitting down, figuring out, okay, what's the plan, and what am I going to do once this is all said and done?
So I do have another question about NFL, but I'll ask that later or after. One thing I wanted to make sure we did, and part of the reason why we want to try and get you on, is we know you were doing your part with a Juneteenth event, if I'm not mistaken. Do you mind just telling us a little bit about that and how that went, and is there going to be another one in the future that, you know, folks can be aware of if they're in the San Bernardino area for next year?
Yeah, man. No, we'll definitely have another one next year. This was our third one. Actually, my current girlfriend, she had the first one in 2020. That was right after like George Floyd and the COVID.
Oh, wow.
She wanted to have an event in San Bernardino that, you know, brought togetherness and also networking together. And it was, you know, it was a success her first year. She didn't do it the next year. And then we weren't together for the first time she did it, but we were the second time. So we did it in San Diego, which was cool. And then this past year we did it in San Bernardino. So I think this was by far my favorite year, because I was able to do it, of course, in my hometown. But pretty much, man, we're called Empowerment for Us. It's basically just we're going to turn it into like a nonprofit. It's just based on just networking, man. We want to bring people together, especially in minority groups, you know, kind of just, you know, working on bringing the keeping the dollar within, man. I think that's like something that's huge, especially for a city like San Bernardino, you know, because we pretty much just brought vendors, you know, small black businesses, small minority businesses together, brought a bunch of people there to, you know, come check their stuff out and just network, man, have a good time. We had DJ, we had Kids Zone, Petting Zoo, Jumpers, Game Trucks, all types of food, all types of vendors. So it was performers, everything, bro. So it was awesome, bro, just to, you know, go to the 66ers stadium and have an event like that, you know. And it's definitely something we're focusing more on now. We were just doing one event a year, but now we kind of want to have at least one a month. So we're hoping for July, but, you know, August would definitely be the next time we have something. So yeah, bro, it's just basically just us focusing on empowering each other, man. Just, you know, supporting small businesses and really just networking. I think networking is like, I mean, it's always about who you know, man. It don't matter what you do. Yeah, if you know somebody here and they could get you in there, they could get you in there, man. So I think it's just my biggest focus is just empowerment and networking, you know. So Yeah, and this event was a success. So we actually got an award, man. I'm gonna post about it. We got a proclamation award from the city of San Bernardino for the Juneteenth event we just had, man. So it was awesome, bro. That kind of accomplishment, man. It was like, it felt different than like accolades I've gotten in sports and stuff like that, man. Cause it's like, of course, you know, playing, it's like, I expect these things, but when you're outside of football and doing stuff that, you know, you feel is important and it's recognized, it's like, dang, like, okay, like this is really something we could, you know, take advantage of and really use it as a stepping stone to propel ourselves forward. So yeah, man, I'm excited about it. I mean, our three people, oh, I do want to mention them, Micah Baham and Bree Jones, them two as well. We're the trio that run it. So yeah, man, it's awesome, bro. I'm excited for what's next for it.
Now I feel bad. No, like I missed out on a good event.
And then I know Nate has hit me in the past 2 years, and it's like, I'm in season. Like Juneteenth, yeah. I'm always up here, so I miss it. But yeah now, once you know they keep going, by the time I'm back home, I definitely want to get involved and help you and show up when I can. So definitely, yeah, let me know, and then yeah, we'll definitely promote it on the pod, get you back on and do all those things.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's cool, bro. We'll definitely, yeah. Once you're out of season, bro, we'll work something out.
Yes, sir.
I like that. I like that.
Is there any chance maybe the both of y'all can get a camp or something going?
Honestly, I would be down for that, bro. Ooh. I'm not gonna lie. I was thinking about having my first one this year, but it was kind of like my high school. They had just switched coaches, which is, you know, of course, because I actually have more of a relationship with Chris Chaddick.
Okay, yeah, he's a UCLA fan too.
Yeah. He was. So he hit me about it, but I kind of felt it was like too late, too rushed. I didn't want to rush it, man. So, well, we are doing like I didn't announce it or nothing yet. We are doing like a little just small like clinic with. I'm going up there to talk to the team and, you know, work him out for like a couple of days to replace that, because he really wanted to do the camp. But we would save it for next year. But to the question, I'm ready. I'm with it, man. I think that's definitely something we can do, honestly.
A little IE Bruins?
A little IE Bruins situation? I like that. Yes.
We need to definitely figure something out. Do something for the Empire.
I wonder where we would do it though. Where would we want to do it?
That's you know, Upland. You know, you know, I know Upland would be down.
I'm here.
I know Upland High School would be down.
Would they be down? Would they do it?
For sure.
For sure.
I mean,
come on, man, that's Charles Woods.
If we do it in Fontana, we could do it Fontana at the Turfields Park.
Yeah, we could. I like that.
We got options.
I like that.
Nate is one of the. I would say closest, we are the most similar, especially when it comes to like football IQ, school, like all that. I feel like me and Nate are two of the most similar guys. Like whenever I see Nate, he's always like watching film, breaking stuff down. And like not everybody has that in them. You know, some guys are really just doers or like athletes like that can just like that, but like being students of the game, and like so to hear that you coaching is something you want to do, you know, down the line, you know, we want on the same staff or something.
Exactly, bro. We definitely wanted the same, man, especially when it came to school too. Like we're still, you know, of course we were athletes, man, but we was on our school, man. We got those
directors on a roll.
Directors out of the road.
I saw a couple honor rolls for Nate. I wasn't surprised to see that.
Yeah, we got it, man. So, yeah, no, that's I'm definitely down to do something like that, man. So we could definitely chop that up.
And speaking of coaching, I know you mentioned your brother to me earlier when we were talking on Twitter, but I think wasn't I even at one of his games, or maybe that was your little brother at Orange Vista, right?
Yeah.
Is that kind of your first coaching opportunity? You get to maybe work with him and take him out a little bit?
Well, like my little brothers, man, all of them, I mean, they're going to be some dogs, man. Like the oldest one that plays for San Jacinto, you know, he had that ACL.
San Jacinto, that's what it was. That's right.
He had that ACL injury in the was it the state game? I think it was the state game.
Yeah,
he had
yeah.
got a pick. He was mm-hmm. taking it to the house. He just planted wrong, and boom, fell to the ground, ACL, right?
Damn.
Man. But he's like, he's already, like, from his surgery, man, to, like, he's already taller than me. Like, I think he's going to be a freak. Like,
okay. What year is he?
He's going to be a junior this year. So okay, he's not so going to play. He's probably not going to play this year. Yeah, yeah he's yeah. not going to play this year, bro. But, like, we're really working right now. And
mm-hmm.
I think given this year, like, he's going to be, like, you're going to see him next year, like, who is this okay. guy? People are going to be like, who is this guy? Like,
I already know about him. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, man. So he's definitely the next one up. But then my two younger ones, I think they're going to be – because they already started, bro. They're probably going to be even better, bro. So those are definitely, you know, of course, my biggest opportunity to instill everything I've learned and put it into them. And I think it will, you know, everybody will see that coming soon. So.
Good deal. And so, again, just a follow-up question. Just going back to what we're talking about as far as, you know, we talked about networking, staying in the league, the different situations. How do you find yourself continuing to get these opportunities with all these different teams? Because usually you see people with one or two team and then they kind of flame out. But I was looking at stuff about you, I learned you were on a whole team. You were on the Browns or something. I think you were on the Browns or the Titans, or you were on some team. Yeah, I didn't even know you were on,
bro. Yeah,
the Titans. I think that's what I'm like, when was he in?
The end of last season, bro. Like the last few weeks I was in with the Titans. Like, I wasn't – it was the first time – that was probably the hardest part of my time in the league was the first time I actually wasn't on a team at all after a camp. Because usually I get cut, P-squad, whole year, right? But this past year, like, was the first time, like, I didn't have nothing for, like, from September until, like, October. I was like, damn, bro, like, is it time? Like, I was, like, going through it. Like, what am I going to do? Blah, blah, blah. So – really, though, it's my agent. My agent, Josh Arnold, like, he's gotten me plenty of opportunities, man. I think it's just, like, I think teams see the potential there, man. It's just, like, sometimes it just doesn't work out, bro. It'd be like, you get there, like, things are good, and then all of a sudden something switches. You know, it's like, I don't know how to explain it, bro, but... yeah, bro, shout out my agent, man. Josh Arnold, Synergy Sports, He keeps blessing me, man, and he's been with me, rocking with me, bro, through it all. So I got to give it all to him, not only my film or my play, but I think just his expertise and being able to – and his relationships and being able to, you know, still give me opportunities to get to where we both feel like I should be. So, yeah, Synergy Sports, shout out to you, Josh Arnold, good not deal. This Woodsy.
Josh, you have anything else for Nate before we kind of wrap things up?
I mean, I could go with a funny question. I could just not even funny question.
Go ahead.
Nate is a big one thing about Nate. He gonna eat his sweets.
You got a sweet tooth.
You know what's funny, bro? I'm actually on the 30-day sugar cleanse now for the first
not
time.
A sugar cleanse.
Sugar, sugar, bro. No, that is bro. And it's impressive because, bro, like he said, the sweets, bro, it's my biggest weakness easily. No what question
you,
about it.
Nate going to get him some candy. Nate going to have him some ice cream. When, like, Nate used to go to the dining halls, like, just to make this, like, I don't even know what it wasn't. It was like ice cream with, I don't know if you put, like, what, cookies and milk?
It's exotic, bro. Not too many people know about that, man. But
okay,
like I would get the shake from Denev all the time. I would put the ice cream with the cookies, you know, ice cream over a warm brownie, mint and chip. I love mint and chip ice cream. I'm a big cake guy. Like, I don't really like sour, like Skittles and stuff like that. I'm more of like a chocolatey cookie type of guy. But sweets, bro, you ask anybody who really knows me, it's easily my downfall.
top dessert or dessert place when you're at UCLA?
Either the shake from Denev or Cafe 19, the the warm brownie they had with
the Monte Bianco.
Yes, there you go, Josh. Okay.
That I thing, haven't heard of that, either one of these thing, places.
Hey, that thing was fire. Like that is one of the things I definitely miss. Like when you move off, you don't get swipes and stuff. So I used to try to find a freshman or somebody around that swipe me or send me extra swipes. Like it was a so they'd heat up a brownie, and then you get to choose what kind of gelato you put on it. So it's a hot like a hot brownie, not just a warm brownie, a hot brownie.
Hot.
Throw that gelato on there, and then you can get the chocolate sauce on. You can get different little
flavors. Whatever
little
you like.
Ooh. Damn, I'm gonna have to check
this place out. Bust down. Okay, you gotta try it out.
Josh. Bye.
So what about this? DD Rees. I went once or twice, and they keep saying Diddy that's Rees? A popular place. No.
See, I wasn't a big Diddy Rees guy, unfortunately, okay. Bro. Like the cookies was just a little too hard for my sandwich making abilities with the ice cream. Personally,
okay. I went once, and they were pretty good. So I was impressed. I just don't go out of my way because it's busy. It's busy down there, so I don't. I'm trying to get in and out because I got to drive back to the IE. So I'm just trying to get out of Westwood as fast as I can whenever I can. But the first year when I was covering the team, I'm like, let me see what this DD Rees plays is all about. And it was cool, but I'm kind of shocked that you guys aren't like about it.
Cause it's like, I don't know how you explain it. What DD Rees is to UCLA is kind of like in and out to Cali, like as for a sense of, you kind of have to get it because it's there because of what it means.
Yeah,
exactly.
But like that doesn't mean they have the best. And it's like anytime I ever had Diddy Rees was when they would like somebody would cater some Diddy Rees or like one of the big variety packs like to a UCLA event or something. Then I would get it, but like rarely. I probably went into Diddy Rees probably once or twice ever.
Yeah. Wow. No. Yeah, I wasn't a big fan. It wasn't like I would rather go like to Pizza Kitchen, go down the street to Pizza Kitchen, go get me a butter cake. Fire. Have you had butter cake?
Oh, that's how I know you're about the sweets. Oh, you know where it's all at.
Oh, bro, absolutely. I'll go down to the Rite Aid across from the Target, go get me that mint chip, Thrifty's ice cream. I was serious, bro. Yeah, it wasn't bro.
Nate see me eat and call me fat because I'm gonna eat all the regular food, but when it comes to sweets, Nate got me beat.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's something I can admit too. That's definitely something I can admit easily.
So as we get ready to wrap things up, I gotta know what led to the decision to go sugar free here for as long as you have. What went into that?
Bro,
would you call it a cleanse, you call it?
Cleanse, yeah, bro. Okay. I just want to see how my body reacts not eating sugar. I haven't really, I hear, I've been seeing, I'm not on TikTok, but, I've been seeing, videos from TikTok of, the results and advantages your body feels from not having any, added sugar. And I haven't done that. I at least give me something sweet. At least I don't want to say every day, but every other day I'm eating something sweet. So I was like, man, let me see what I can do with this. It's been hard, bro. The first couple of days so far,
withdrawals and stuff.
Addicted. No, seriously, withdrawals, bro. Like I'm fiending, and my mom, she had just made a cake. My girl just made a dessert. I'm like, what are y'all trying to do? They bring a donuts in the house. I'm like, that's tough. Oh, man.
Because they know they got a chance with it now.
Hey, but I've been standing strong, bro. I've been standing strong. So
that's
it,
Joe.
I just want to see how my body reacts. I just want to see what it does. See how it adjusts.
Okay. Well, Nate, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it. And look forward to having you on sometime in the very near future. Josh, go ahead. Anything?
Yeah. Thanks, brother. I'm super proud of you and the journey. We've been, day one, and to now, and just watching your grind and your growth, and you just continue, I'm always rooting for you whenever I get to watch you play. I love watching my dog eat. Bro. So, thanks again for coming on the pod. And, when I'm back in IE, we're going to tap in and figure some things out.
Oh, of course, man. Yeah, bro. Thank you for that. And I just want to thank y'all for letting me on here, man.
This is the Believe in UCLA Football podcast presented by Bet Online.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.